In the letter we're going to read this morning, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in the first century Roman province of Asia. The physical location of Colossae would today be in the country of Turkey. The letter he wrote to them is thought to be, along with the letter to the Philippians, a letter that he wrote from jail out of a desire to encourage others who were in the faith. He was in jail because of his faith, and he was attempting to encourage others. Paul himself had never visited the church, but he was led by God to send him this letter. I know that's too small for you guys to truly see it, but it just gives you a kind of a depiction of where Colossae was. It's a picture of the Mediterranean Sea. The lower right-hand corner, the red circle, is approximately where Jerusalem was and still is to this day. And then the one toward in the center, up in the middle, is where Colossae is. This church of Colossae was full of people who are worshiping just today, just as us today, worshiping the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it also had an intermix of Jews and Gentiles. Now you and I might think that doesn't mean anything, but if you've read your Bible, you read the Acts of the Apostles, there was some challenges. They had some disagreements amongst themselves as to how you were supposed to honor God with their lives. Is it any surprise that us here today still wrestle with how to honor God? But praise God, they at least come together just as we did this morning and say, we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
We don't have it all figured out. We have some disagreements amongst ourselves. But we're going to say the one thing we agree on is we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
Paul had been hearing some good things about them, and he wanted to commend them for their acts of living a God-honoring life. But if you know the Apostle Paul, as he's telling them that, he also wants to encourage them to come a little further. He wants to encourage them to grow in their faith. He wants them to truly live a resurrected life. The Apostle Paul prayed that he would live full lives. Sadly, I think people then, just as today, there are a lot of people that are playing around with faith, playing around with Christianity, playing around with this concept of worshiping God, and they're just sort of standing at the doorway of faith, maybe just touching their toes into the water. Paul is encouraging us, just get on down there and get in the deep end.
Amen.
Get into the deep end. There, you're going to be challenged. There's going to be things you don't understand. Listen, the disciples didn't understand it. They were challenged. We're going to be challenged. Get in there. Jump in the water. Listen, Jesus came to give us full lives. John 10:10, second half of the verse says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Again, as I said in the earlier service, it's not just about everlasting life, eternal life. Praise God, that's a wonderful thing. I'm not wanting to belittle it. But do you understand, God, Jesus Christ come to give us abundant life today.
Amen.
He wanted you to walk in resurrection mode throughout the day. Not just on one day. Not just on one day of the year. Not just one day of the week. But every day, every moment of our lives, He's trying to draw us to live a resurrected life. He came to give us abundant life. He came to give us the strength to live this resurrected life. A resurrected life is a life of a person who knows that things are taken care of. That ultimately, the most important things in life are taken care of. They know that they won over Satan and death. The one who is embracing a resurrected life no longer has a death sentence. They can find joy in this life even in the midst of the inevitable turmoil that we all deal with. Listen, whether you follow Jesus Christ or you do not, you will in this life have trouble. Jesus even said that. But be of good cheer, I have overcome. Just as He has overcome, He comes with us and helps us to overcome the challenges that we deal with every day. I'm no different than you. I'm not a super spiritual person who never gets down, who never has a hard day, who never gets confused. Listen, in the midst of all that, Jesus has come to give us abundant life. Look with me at this letter that He wrote to the Christians at Colossae. Colossians 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Again, this is Paul writing to a group of people in the first century at this city. And he says, listen, I've heard about you. And I've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a way, in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in the light. Don't you thank the Lord for that qualification?
Amen.
He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Jeff, would you ask a blessing on our sermon this morning?
Father God, we do thank You again, Lord, that we are able to gather here this morning. Lord, that we can come basically before Your throne, Father. We come to hear Your word taught. We come to hear the truth proclaimed. We come to hear that You are not dead, that You have risen from the tomb, and that You're alive, and that You're alive within us today. Father, we thank You for the blessings that You've given us. And we'll continue to. Just bless the rest of this service, Father. Just give Pastor Rick the words to say and give us all hearts to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Paul here says he prayed for them often and he implored that they would be four things. Four things that I want to talk about this morning from our text. That they would be filled with knowledge. That they would walk the straight and narrow path. That they would bear fruit. That their lives would bear fruit that was honorable to God. And lastly, that they would be thankful. Paul prayed that they would be filled with knowledge. The knowledge of His will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. Can I say here this morning that every one of you who has a child, a grandchild, or simply some young person that you love, can you say that you want them to have everything? You want them to understand everything. You always want them to make the right decision. Do you not have that hope for your children? Do you understand? God has that for you. He wants you to do right. It's not just about Him making rules to take away our fun. It's Him helping guide us into a relationship that helps us understand what we should do in each case. No, I don't see anything in here that tells me when I should retire. It doesn't tell me what college I should go to. It doesn't tell me what car I should buy, right? But in the midst of those decisions, you see, God wants us to have a relationship with Him. And as our relationship builds, we gain an ability to find a peace in making decisions in our life. Paul says, listen, I want you to be filled with that kind of knowledge and that kind of understanding. I want to tell you, it's so important for you to pick up your Bible. If all you're getting is the 20 minutes or 25, 30 minutes, whatever I give you in the Sunday morning, I'm telling you, it's not enough. It's not enough. There is so much knowledge in here. There's so much more to God. If you've not picked up your book, I'm telling you, you're missing out. My faith began to grow exponentially when I decided, you know what? There's something in here. There's somebody. I don't mean literally, right? But there's somebody in here that I want to get to know.
Amen.
Paul's telling the church there, Colossae, I want you to have it all. I want you to understand it all. I want you to grow, to be filled with this knowledge. And it is this knowledge that enables them to walk in righteousness. Jesus was their model. The Bible tells us that Jesus was perfect in every way. Everything that He said, everything that He did was precisely in the will of the Father. Can you say, can I tell you strong enough why it's important for us to now go and examine what Jesus did? No, I'm not Jesus. I don't mimic Him precisely. But I'm going to tell you, I got a lot that I can learn from seeing what He did, how He responded to others, how He used the Word of God when He responded to others, how He used the Word of God in guidance for His own life. Jesus is the perfect model. After His resurrection, Jesus did a couple of things for us. Many things. He's still doing many things. But there are a couple of things this morning that I want to remind you of that He did for us. First of all, the sending of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit at that time was only being given to individuals at certain times for just certain moments when God had something that He wanted them to understand. I think my battery died. There were certain times that Jesus would fill somebody with the Holy Spirit. However, if you read your Bible, you see that when now with the grace and mercy that comes with the faith of Lord Jesus Christ, we are each capable of obtaining the Holy Spirit into our lives. Jesus says that we just ask for it. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to help us to grow and to understand and to live and to walk in this righteous way. It is for our own good. And secondly, how many ways does He intercede in our behalf? God, Jesus Christ come to intercede 2,000 years ago. He's interceding with us currently while we're here now. He's interceding for us already into the future. He's already there. He knows what's needed. He knows what you're going to deal with tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, He's already there.
Amen.
Do you understand that truth? If you really understand that truth, can you see how that would lower our needs to be worrying and fretting about everything? Listen, I'm no different than you. I still wrestle with things. I still worry. I still get concerned. There's things in life that still confuse me. But I want to tell you, I know someone to go to. I know someone to go to who has the answers. And He says, I want to come alongside you. I want to come alongside you. I want to tell you, each of us, I don't care where you are in your life, there's been some point in your past when you thought, I want somebody. I need somebody. Jesus
wants to be that somebody in your life, and He wants to be there all the time. And you can help bring that about by responding, by listening, by looking for Him, by speaking to Him. I was reading a book this morning, an autobiography about Eugene Peterson. And Eugene Peterson, and he's a pastor, and he was also the one who wrote the paraphrase, The Message. And in the midst of his life one time, when he was a little younger, he wanted to understand how to pray, and he went to this individual who'd been praying for, or as far as he concerned, he was a spiritual giant to him. And he went to him and asked him how many years he prayed, and how he went about praying throughout all these years. And the man basically said, "I haven't prayed for 40 years. And Eugene walked away confused. And over time, though, he began to see that in some ways, whether that guy meant it that way or not, but he come to understand prayer is not, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning prayer is not just those moments when we ask the Lord to bless our food, which we should. When we ask in the middle of the night and we say, "Oh Lord, thank you for my day, and please be with my brother, please be with my..." When we do all, yes, that's part of it, but listen, prayer is meant to be a lifestyle. So that any moment, at any time, He's right there with you. You have a concern, you have a thought. I enjoyed the... I work in a chemical plant on a Monday through Friday, and I enjoy being out in the noisy areas because I can talk to the Lord, and I can talk loudly, and people don't think I'm crazy. He wants us to speak to Him. Tell Him what you think too. He's not going to be upset if you say, "Jesus, I'm angry. This happened. This ain't fair. This ain't right." Yeah. Talk to Him. He knows what's in your heart anyway. That relationship, build on that relationship. He's ever interceding on our behalf, and he's standing there in a sense just saying, "Come on, tell me about it. Tell me about your day." Part of our pleasing God is a harvest of bearing fruit. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, that He's the vine and we're the branches. That's almost too small for me to read there. "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Isn't that kind of astonishing? That's the words of Jesus. And listen, we can wrestle with what all that means. But can you see, He's saying, "I want to be a part of all your life. I want to be a part of your Monday morning. I want to be a part of your Wednesday night. I want to be a part of your dinner. I want to be a part of your joy. I want to be a part of the midst of your sorrow. I want to be there." And listen, if you're going to bear fruit, if you're going to live this life that honors God, I want to be in the midst of it. And if I'm in the midst of it, then there's going to be fruit from it. I'm not talking about fruit on the table or fruit you're putting in the belly. I'm talking about it's going to bring value. It's going to bring value. And listen, as fruit is coming from you, it's your desire to honor God. And as you're living it out, others are going to partake in that. God meant for us to live in community. It saddens me when I see churches, and I know it's happened here, when churches blow up because bad things are going on and somebody's upset about something here and there, it saddens me. God has called us here to community. We're supposed to be loving one another in the midst of our disagreements. Amen. We see it in people walking away from their physical families too. It saddens me. God intended us to do this together in community, but it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a lot of times that's where we get in trouble. Our focus point was on the pastor. Our focus point was on ourselves. Our focus point was on somebody else. But listen, if our focus point is on the Lord Jesus Christ, where the fruit is truly meant to come from, then we're not going to leave a church out of anger. We might choose to leave for differing reasons. Listen, if you're not being taught here, I want to tell you, leave. I don't mean because I want you to leave, but I'm telling you, if you're not being drawn to the Lord by what's happening in this building, go somewhere else. You understand what I mean? I don't mean that out of anger. Listen, I want everyone here. I wish the place was so full we had to seat you up here.
But I'm saying you need to go somewhere where you're being fed when you feel God is speaking to you. But if that's happening, don't let somebody else draw you away from living the fruitful life, the resurrected life that Jesus Christ died to give you. It is our faith in the one who is resurrected that gives us the strength to bear this fruit in righteousness. You know, I've been hurt in church worse than I've been hurt anywhere else. Nowhere here yet. Hadn't happened here yet. I say yet, and I mean that sincerely, because people are people no matter where you go.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, I've been hurt in church more than I've been hurt anywhere else. I've had some people, boy, jam the knife in hard. But I want to tell you, in the midst of it all, I knew where my focus needed to be. It was on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on that person. And if I'm being honest with myself, I've held the knife in my hand. I've said some stupid things. I've done some stupid things. I've done hurtful things. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. We're just another one of the, can I say another one of the dummies, right? We're just another one of the guys that's just supposed to be following along. You know, you don't have it figured out. You're not supposed to have it figured out. You're in trouble when you think you've got it all figured out. Now, I laugh and I giggle around that we're practicing. Listen, everything that we do in life, to some extent, we're just practicing. We truly are. But would you lean on the Lord Jesus Christ? Let Him be the vine in your life that He wants to be. Let Him flow His love and His mercy and His grace into you. And turn around and share it with others. But it does require patience. But it's not a patience without hope. Right? There are those who serve money. There are those who serve power. There are those who serve prestige. There are those who serve themselves. And I'm going to tell you, at some point, all of those things are going to fall flat on their face. You know what? It may not even be until we pass from this life to the next. But I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, at some point, all of those things are going to fail you. But my Lord Jesus Christ did not, has not, and will not ever fail you. Do you understand what we have in the Lord? Are you living the resurrected life this morning? He has promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. In all the midst of this fruit bearing, can you see it's important for us to be giving thanks? I don't think the people in this... I don't think... And maybe it's my fault. And you know, listen. We had some things go on over the last year or so. I don't think we testify enough. I don't think it's enough. You know, no, listen. Testifying is something that changes you. I want to say it changes me. Testifying is not just about those other people. It's about yourself. I'd almost say it's more about you than it is of others. God's gifted me with this ability to get up and testify on a weekly basis about how good He is and what He's done for me. As I begin to testify in the church I grew up in, my heart begins to be warmed. I don't want to admit it as a pastor and a teacher, but there's times when I'm saying things that I know is in the book, but I'm not even sure. Is this really right, you know? I remember, I can tell you, I don't want to, I could get too long here this morning. I can tell you moments where I'm wrestling with something and I got to say it because it's in here, but I don't know God. But I'm still saying it anyway. I'm going to say it because that's what the book says. And I can tell you, those are those moments where I sense a growth, a sense of maturing, a giving of thanks. Taking the moment to remember, I'll tell you, I remember a day when I was driving to work, and I probably told you this story before, but I'll tell it to you again. Driving to work, I don't remember what the situation was, but I want to tell you, I felt like life was over. Yeah, maybe that's too strong. I just in my heart, I just thought, boy, what's the use? And I just remembered the importance of giving thanks. And on the way to work, I started at the toes and just began to thank Him of the silly little things in life that we forget about. Thank You for my 10 toes. Thank You for my ankle.
just beginning with. And you know, it got my mind off of whatever it was I was wrestling with. I remember sensing a peace in that. It's important. It's so important for us to give thanks. Jesus had delivered them and us from the domain of darkness and transformed them to be a part of the kingdom of God. A part of something that's so much bigger than us. So much more than this little church. It's a part of a community that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of. How different would your life be if you truly knew that there was a certain point in your life that everything was going to be resolved? If you truly believed that. Sadly, I think a lot of people think money is going to be the answer to everything. But if you envisioned a certain part in your life, I thought, boy, when I get to October 3rd, somebody's promised me, somebody's guaranteed me that when I get to October 3rd, all of my problems are going to be resolved. Just imagine for a moment that you really believed that. October 3rd, everything's going to be... whatever your issue is right now, take a moment and just think to yourself, this is an issue that I won't resolve by October 3rd. If you truly believed that it was going to be resolved by October 3rd, how different would you live? You see, Jesus is telling us, now, don't go saying the pastor prophesied October 3rd, everything's going to be resolved. But do you see what I'm saying? If you hold to this truth, I serve a risen Savior who went into the grave and walked out. What limitations does He have? Whatever your issue is, He can resolve it. Some way, somehow, at some point in your life, it's going to be resolved. Can you see, living the resurrected life is thanking Him for what He has already done in the future. Thanking Him for getting you through whatever it is right now that's really digging at you. Can you see the value in just thanking Him for resolving it? Lord, I don't see how You're doing it. I can't imagine how we're going to get there with it. But you know what? I'm already thanking You. I'm already thanking You for that resolution. I'm going to tell you, your heart will be softened. We need to be thanking Him. We need to be giving thanks for what He's done for us. Don't we have plenty of reasons to be thankful? We have a Savior who is worthy to be praised. In the last few verses there, I want to read them to you again. There's so much in here about Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Amen. Now listen, as I read that, there are a lot of things. And I imagine you're too. You're thinking, well, what about this guy? What about that? What about this government? What's going on here? What's going on there? Just read it. Next verse. Next slide. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Can you see, if you make a decision in your own life to make Him preeminent, you're going to be living the resurrected life. The first man, Adam, was made in the image of God. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is so much a better image. You can maybe envision in your own life someone who you think might be good and perfect, or as perfect as you might think they are. Listen, I have some people in my life that I'd say, man, they are such a great image. I want to be like them. But however great you might think they are, Jesus is more so. He was perfect in every way. Paul here tells us He was at creation with the Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega, or the beginning to everlasting. All things were created by Him. He is the head in the body of the church. Can you see that? He is to be the head. If we truly believe that, can you see? Churches should never blow up if we truly see Him as the head. But it happens. I'm not the head. And I'm sorry. None of you are the head either. Can you see the value in seeing Jesus is first and foremost? He was the firstborn of the dead and the first to be resurrected. He did that through His own power. And now He's going to pull us right behind Him. He had the power to lay down His life, and He had the power to pick it up. That's the kind of Savior I serve. I hope it's the kind of Savior you serve. Can you see why He is to be preeminent in all that we do? He is qualified for us. He is everything about Him, everything that we know of Him, everything that we learn of Him in Scripture says He deserves our honor. He deserves our worship. And yet He turned around and He did something for us. It is He who qualified us to become a part of the kingdom of God. Paul wanted everything in their lives to be in the direction of putting Jesus on the throne. Putting Jesus on the throne on your way to work and in your families, in your communities, in your country. But listen, that's not about you fixing all those things. That's about you deciding in your activities on a day-to-day basis, Jesus is going to be preeminent. Paul prayed that for the church then, and I pray that for the community of believers that's right here this morning, as well as those who are listening elsewhere. I pray that. Are you bearing fruit this morning? Are you being thankful for not only for what all Jesus did, but for also just simply for who He is? Are you living the resurrected life? Let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for releasing Your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, help us here this morning. Help each of us to truly realize that in order to really gain, we've got to give up. We've got to say, whatever is going on in my life today, I give it to You. And be willing to accept the direction that You give us. Lord, I know there's somebody that's hurting. In this group of people, there's somebody that's here that's hurting, that's wrestling with something. Lord, I pray that they would find a resolution. I pray that this would be the day that they sense the freedom that You've already called into their lives. Lord, I ask You to be with us as a church as we continue, as we leave this place, that we would truly allow You to be the preeminent force in our lives that You want to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to sing, I would encourage you, if the Lord's spoken to your heart in any way, maybe there's someone that you know is hurting and you want to pray for them. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know you've been walking away. You've not been following the narrow path. There's some things that you know you need to change, you need to begin doing or stop doing. Listen, I want to tell you, the altar's open. It's a wonderful time for you to just pause. And you can do it in your seats. Talk to the Lord about it. If the Lord's speaking to you anyway, I encourage you. As we prepare to sing, what have we got, Joe?
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. Let's all stand and sing.
Misfortune, pray. I'm in need of Thy only. Go ahead and be seated. We at Vanderhoof Baptist have what we consider open communion. That means if you're here and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been baptized, we encourage you to take part in this communion service. During his last meal with his disciples, Jesus shared the bread and the cup with them. And as they ate and drank, he wanted it to become a symbol to them. And he's asked the church, us, to continually to do this, with the promised hope that at one point he's going to return and we will no longer do this without him, but we are going to be with him. I want to read to you something that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning what we observe as communion. Or the verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, the new promise, the new agreement between me and you,' Jesus is saying. 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You see, we're joining with people who have been following Jesus for decades, centuries. We're joining with them. Can you for a sense just imagine this huge community of believers that's been doing this for so many years, over 2,000 years now? And at the same time, can you envision that not only as we're doing this, people are doing this throughout the whole world? People with different colored skin, different languages, people that sound very much different than us, who look very much different than us, and yet they serve the same risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we're about to partake in this, I want to encourage you for just take a moment and just pause and think about the depth of what we're doing and about living that resurrected life that Jesus Christ wants you to live. I want to encourage you as you are praying and as you are partaking that you're thinking about, what can I do and what way can I now real truly embrace this resurrected life that you've promised? I challenge you. Challenge God and say, "God, help me see it. That dumb preacher said you're supposed to have done something good for my life. Show it to me. Help me see it." I would encourage you to step out in faith. Those of you who have been Christians for a long time, I want to tell you, Paul would say, listen, grow. Mature. Keep doing. If you think you've arrived, you're in trouble already. There's more. Jesus has more for us. We declare this morning into His Son, Jesus Christ, that we honor His acts of His body to be broken and His blood to be shed for us. In this one act, those who believe in His name are made righteous in the eyes of God the Father. And the Apostle Paul reminds them again to pause and reflect. Would you pray with me again? Don't just wait for me to finish. Take a moment and pray yourself as I'm praying. Lord, we thank you. I don't know if we can truly comprehend why you chose to love us as you did. But we praise you this morning for that love. And we ask you to help each of us to not only receive that love that gives us peace in this life, but that we may also leave this place with a desire to share that love so that others may find it. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So get your containers ready. Maybe you can peel back that first layer. The bread that we are about to eat is a representative of the body of Jesus that was broken upon the cross for us all. Joe, would you mind asking the blessing upon the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, you showed us the way. You gave us the word. That was just the first part of your plan to take away the sins of the world. You bore the stripes of those sins in your body. You took the weight of the world. Dear Lord, we do thank you for that. And through your stripes, through the pain that you took, dear Lord, in your body, we remember what you did to take on that pain of the world and give us the hope for tomorrow. Amen.
Amen. Now let's eat together in remembrance of him. The cup that we are about to take part in is a representative of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the sins of all. Lynn, would you please ask the blessing upon the cup?
As we hold this cup, see Jesus with these disciples at the Last Supper. He said, "Take this cup. This is my blood. A new covenant for the remission of sin." Thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless this cup. Amen.
Amen. Let's drink together in remembrance of him. Until he returns. Now let's all close out with a song. Joe, what do we have? Christ arose. Let's all stand and sing. Christ arose.
with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
Death cannot keep his reign.
Jesus, my Savior, he
Lamb, I'm sorry. You're Joe.
That's right.